Hearers of the law, how the law was given to declare us guilty so that we might see our need for salvation, for a Savior. Here in chapter 3, it's primarily about sin, which is, again, the breaking of the law. And how many of us have ever shared the gospel with a lost person and not used Romans chapter 3, verse 10? As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But before God goes into that, here in the beginning of the chapter, he reminds us that there is only one absolute authority in the universe. Amen? And that is God. So this is an exciting passage here in chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 tonight. Let's read it. It says, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God? For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Our title is Let God Be True. Let God Be True. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of meeting here tonight and opening your word together. We pray you would now use it in our hearts to teach us and grow us and guide us in your perfect truth, Lord. We want to please you and honor you by listening, by responding, and honoring your word. We give you this service in Jesus' name. Amen. So as he says there, as we see in the first part of the chapter, the writers of the scriptures were Jewish. As it says, notice verse 2, unto them, who's it talking about? The Jews were committed the oracles of God. The prophets were all Jews. Jesus was a Jew. The apostles were Jews. And it's through the Jews that God gave us this precious book. Hallelujah. They first gave us the Old Testament and they gave us the New Testament. But let us never forget that it was unto them, the Jews, that the oracles of God were committed. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 quickly if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1, where God reminds us that the Word of God did not come from man. The Word of God came from God. Yes, he chose to use man in his amazing wisdom. And only God could give us his preserved, powerful Word and yet still maintain different personalities of different writers. Only God could do that. And when you read Paul's epistles versus Peter's epistles, you can tell they're different people. And yet it's in the inspired word of God. Only God could do that. Notice he says 2 Peter 1:21. The Bible says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible is written by God. And let us never, ever forget that great truth. This book was not written by men. It was written by God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost is the author of this book, not man. Now, the world wants us to believe that man wrote the Bible and therefore it has problems and errors. That's because they don't understand that our Creator gave us his will, gave us an understanding of man and salvation and himself by writing it down. Amen? And giving it to us in his word. Every word of God is pure, we're told. But he says here, moving on in our passage, what if some did not believe? Well, does that sound like a picture of today? What if some did not believe? What if there are people who say, I don't believe that's the word of God? God says, what if that's the case? Well, it is the case. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? In other words, because there are many who scoff at the word, because there are many who say it's not God's word, does that change anything from God's perspective? No. It doesn't undo the truths of the word of God. It doesn't undo the need for faith in Jesus Christ. Whether people believe it or not, it's still the word of God. And as I mentioned earlier, the issue today and always has been authority. It started in the garden, did it not? What did the devil say to Eve? Yea, hath God. Did God really say that, Eve? Or is that really what he meant? And it's still true today. But God wrote the Bible, as we're told in Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. Go to Luke chapter 16, where we find it's very obvious that the final authority is God's Word. Now, this passage, you're very familiar with this chapter, where Lazarus and the rich man both died. The rich man went to
Sheol.
Yep. The rich man went to a place of torment, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort, and so forth. And the rich man said he was able to look across the great gulf, probably the bottomless pit, we can only but guess, and was able to speak to Abraham and say, send someone back to talk to my brothers. And look at his answer here in Luke 16, verse 29. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now, isn't that an interesting answer? He said, if somebody would come back from this place, surely they would believe. If someone showed up at the door and there were still ashes for their clothes and they said, I just came back from hell, you need to get saved. He says, it wouldn't make any difference if they won't believe this book. That's what he said. They have Moses and the prophets. He said, verse 30, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Well, folks, we date our calendars by someone that came back from the dead. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ did come back from the dead. We celebrate it every year. And do people believe? No. Verse 31. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they are not willing to hear the word of God, neither will they believe though one rose from the dead. I know people get excited and say, oh, if they can just find Noah's Ark, if they can just find the Ark of the Covenant, people will believe. No, they won't. No, if they won't believe this, they won't believe. That's what God is telling us. This is the authority. This is where the gospel comes from. And by the way, this, if you go to John 12:48, this will also be the authority at the judgment. Now, Jesus put this in here when he was rebuking the Pharisees, but it's for the whole world. Look what he says here in John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We will be judged based on this. Now, hallelujah, if you're born again, your sins won't be judged. Those were judged at Calvary. But we'll still face the judgment seat of Christ for Jesus to hold us accountable, whether or not we chose to obey his commandments or not, whether we chose to serve him or not. And we might receive reward and we might not. But it's the word. The word is even the final authority in heaven. And this is God's bold statement of this fact, isn't it? In verse 2, let God be true, but every man a liar. And man's been lying ever since, hasn't he? You know, this is even, and I know this is maybe a tiny rabbit trail, but this is even the issue with the Bible version argument of the day. Is rather than believing that the Word of God is the authority, people would rather believe that scholars are the authority. These amazing scholars. And so, because we have so much reverence for these scholars, we allow them to correct the Bible. And we allow pastors to get up in pulpits all across the world and say, well, this really should say, or this could be better rendered, and correct the Bible. And they're basing it on what scholars have said. Well, they have to answer to God for that. Amen. We as a church will never do that. Much better to say, you know what? If what I believe doesn't line up with the scriptures, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I shouldn't strive so hard to change what the Bible says to line up with what I want it to say. Maybe I should admit that maybe I need to change my thinking to line up with Scripture. But the devil has always, from day naught with mankind, sought to attack God's authority. And it started, like I said, in the garden. And God, if you go to Deuteronomy 13, very interesting passage here in Deuteronomy 13. This is part of the law, right, written by Moses. And God makes a very interesting statement here in these first three verses. And it's about authority. Look what he says. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. So this is someone who says, I want you to believe what I'm saying because, look, I can work a miracle. And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Look at this next phrase. For the Lord your God proveth you. God says, I'm going to test you along the way. When people come along, and no matter what they offer up, whether they're a prophet, whether they're a miracle worker, but if they show up and start saying things contrary to this, I'm going to test you and see what your final authority is. Is it something that you've experienced? Is it something that you've seen? Is it something that someone else said and supposedly backed up with a miracle? Or is it my word? Isn't that amazing? This he's saying to Israel, I'm going to prove you along the way, and there's going to be people come along and try to lead you astray, and they're going to use miracles to do it. We know that there's a period of time coming very soon where that's exactly what is going to lead people astray, isn't it? Is signs and wonders worked by the Antichrist and the beast. So, a sign, as God says here in this passage, a sign or a wonder or a dream is not the final authority. God's word is the final authority. We've got, if you go to Galatians 1, and I'm just going quickly through some of these things that man would rather use as the authority than the word. One of the things is a sign or miracles or wonders. And it's going on all around the world today where people claim to have all these special powers and so forth. And then they spew all this stuff that's not lined up with the Word of God, but people believe what they say. So that's one thing we can't trust is a sign or a wonder. God said so. Another thing, look at Galatians 1:8. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven. Well, that took care of the Mormons, didn't it? Because they were supposedly founded by an angel who showed up and showed some special plates to a guy and he wrote a book. God says, even if an angel shows up in your bedroom and says, let's start something new, God says, what? Let him be accursed. Because there is nothing new. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not going to get changed and the Bible's not going to get changed because God wrote it and God gave it to us and God's preserving it. And so even an angel can't be trusted. How about experience? 1 John 4:1, let's turn over there. We're talking tonight about authority. Most people would rather take their authority from where? Their church. Or a sign or a wonder. Or maybe something they've experienced. How many times have you heard people from other movements say something like, well, I had a dream. I had a dream. Well, guess what? Your dream is not infallible. But it's amazing how everybody thinks every dream is infallible. Did you ever notice that? You're never allowed to argue with a dream. If they've had a dream, then, well, who can argue with a dream? Well, God's word can. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. The ability to do things or experience things doesn't mean a thing. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 7, people are going to come to Jesus and say, Lord, Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But Lord, I did all this stuff, and I even did it in the name of Jesus Christ. Never knew you. You weren't born again. You got to wonder, where'd they get the power to work those miracles? Well, there's someone else on this earth who's also a God with a little g who has the power to work miracles. And if he can use them to lead people to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and go to hell, then don't you think he'll do it? The Word of God has to be our final authority. Always. Not experience, not a sign, not an angel, not even our feelings. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Another thing that we cannot trust. Jeremiah chapter 10. Look at verse 23. One of my favorite verses in Jeremiah, by the way, because it strips away all of this stuff that people use all the time. Look what he says. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You know what that's saying? It's saying we don't know the answers. We don't know the way. That without the Lord's help, we are lost. Not only talking about salvation, but even having direction. That's what he's saying, isn't it? And that's why we need to be careful when people make statements like, yeah, but God told me to. Really? Where did he tell you that? Give me the verse that he used. Oh, no, he spoke audibly. Okay. Because my Bible says he's not doing that anymore. Or, I have a piece about it. We've all heard that one. Well, I have a piece about it, so it's obviously God telling me to do it. Well, be careful that the peace is coming from the Word of God and not from your own heart, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? A peace alone isn't enough. There's been plenty of people that have had a peace about stuff that wasn't in line with Scripture. Hence the cults. So a feeling alone. We all have feelings. Lots of them. Good ones and bad ones. But they're not trustworthy. Let God be true, but every man a liar, even an angel, even a sign, even an experience, even our feelings. Matthew 7, one more, verse 13. Jesus here, rebuking again the religious leaders of the day. And look what he says, Mark 7:13. Matthew 7:13 is a good verse, but it's not the one. Mark 7:13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. So God is saying here that you can actually negate the word of God with tradition. And again, how many churches across the world do things based on tradition rather than what the Bible says? Oh, that's just the way we've always done it. Well, maybe you better check it out versus Scripture. So back to our passage. We'll finish there in verse 4 of Romans 3. Let God be true. Isn't that a great statement? Let God be true. Always remember that. And always make sure that the Bible is your final authority. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Verse 4, as it is written. You know how many times that shows up in the New Testament? A lot. As it is written. In other words, that's the authority. When the devil tested Jesus in the desert, he just said, it is written, it is written, it is written. In other words, devil, this is the authority. Amen? It is written. And so it says, it is written that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But the phrase, by the way, it is written in the New Testament, it shows up 80 times. God pointing back to the Old Testament saying, this is what I said and it will always be so and it is always true. Let God be true, but every man a liar. And you know, David wrote that verse, by the way, he's quoting Psalm 51, when he was repenting. When he was repenting of his disobedience and his disregard for God. Saying, essentially, you know what? God is right and I am wrong. And as long as we keep that perspective, we're on the right track. God is right and I'm wrong. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Don't let people try to lead you astray with some new doctrine because there's no such thing. The Bible's been the same for 2,000 years. There's no new doctrine. Let God be true. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for